We have a very short Bible reading this morning, and it's in the book of Job. Job, chapter 15, and verse 11. Job, chapter 15, and verse 11. It says, "Are the consolations of God too small for you? And the word spoken gently with you." That's what I'd like to speak about this morning. Are the consolations of God too small for you? We live in a world of sorrow. Nobody will taint with surprise when I say that this morning. We all know it. All you have to do is read the daily newspaper and it's sorrow from one page to the other. Heartache, heartbreak, lives damaged beyond repair. People of the world know sorrow, and Christians know sorrow too. Christians are not exempt from sorrow in this life. They're followers of the one who is known as the man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Just think of that. When God came down to this world to live and suffer and bleed and die, he was known as the man of sorrow. Older people have sorrows. Young people have sorrows as well. And the question is, are the consolations, the comforts of God enough for us in the sorrows that we have to go through in life? I think I can honestly say that not a week goes by that my telephone doesn't ring with another case of sorrow. A week ago, I got a call from a young man in Berkeley. He just called me to tell me that his mother living in Chicago was nearing the end, and he was rushing back to be with her. Heartbroken. She's a Christian woman, but never mind, his heart was broken. Last night, just before I went to bed, my telephone rang, and it was the man who translated the New Testament commentary into Romania. I don't think many of you know him. His name is Goru Moshe. He called to tell me that his daughter was lying in a hospital bed. She had been stricken. They really don't know the cause yet. She just graduated from college. She was on a life support system. Her mother was constantly there at the bedside. And the doctor told them that she was brain dead. And that if they removed the resuscitator, he would take two breaths and be gone. The doctor, not a Christian, said, "I think he's already seen him." Sorrow. This was a girl who was sunshine in the life of that family. When she came into the room, it's as if a light went on. And now she's snatched away, as it were, actually going to be home with the Lord. And they have to face the difficult question of whether they should stop the resuscitator. Sorrow for this world. I'm sure you all read the story of the missionary family down in Peru. In case you haven't, I'd just like to tell it to you. Missionary family, Jim and Ronnie Bowers. They weren't able to have children at first. And Ronnie said to a friend of hers, "My arm aches to hold a baby in them." Well, God answered her prayers, and they were able to adopt a boy. His name is Corey. And then more recently, they adopted a little girl named Charity. Corey is 7 years old, and Charity was 7 months old. In order to get a visa for Charity, the little girl, to stay in Peru, missionary in Peru, in order to get a visa, they had to fly over into Colombia to the Peruvian consulate in Colombia to get the visa. So there was a missionary plane there with pontoons on it that landed in the water, in the river. And the pilot was a man named Kevin Donaldson. They flew there to Colombia and got the visa and then started back to their home base. They were living in a houseboat there in Chiquipa. On the way back home, they became conscious of the fact that a Peruvian fighter plane was following them. Followed them for about 15 minutes. This plane was one of many in Peru that was trying to stop the drug traffic there. And it was being aided by a United States plane not far away, a jet not far away, with CIA agents in it. And the CIA plane radioed to the fighter to make sure, before they fired, that this plane was a drug plane. Well, of course, it was missionary. But the message came too late. And that Peruvian fighter opened fire on the missionary. One bullet went through the back of Ronnie, the mother, and through into the baby that was sitting on her lap. And they were both killed instantly. Other bullets went into the right foot of the pilot, Kevin Donaldson, massive, shattered his right foot. In the goodness of God, that Kevin, the pilot, was able to land the plane, I shouldn't say land, but he brought it down into the water of the Amazon River. And they were still firing at them. They were firing at them after they got in the water. A fire broke out in the cabin of the plane, and Jim Bowers was able to extinguish it with a fire extinguisher. They had to get out of the plane. The plane by that time was in blazing. They had to get out, and he was able to get the bodies of his wife and little girl out and drag them along in the water. And Kevin Donaldson, the pilot, took little Corey on his back, and they started paddling around in the water. And finally, a motorized canoe came with some Peruvians, and was able to take them to the town where they were able to radio for a plane to come and get them. Akala, what do you say to people like that? Are the consolations of God enough for us in circumstances of life like that? Well, I'm sure some of you heard Jim Bowers being interviewed on TV and in radio. And he bore a magnificent testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to share some of it with you at this time. He said, our attitude toward those responsible is one of forgiveness. He said, isn't that amazing? It's not amazing for Christians. I've been praying for them, that is the pilots of that fighter jet. I've talked to their supervisor about that. He's very interested in knowing about the Lord. I've called him from here, so everything's going well in that regard. No hard feelings. A Christian, isn't it? That's living above the average. The consolations of Christ weren't too small for him. spite of his scattering loss, he said, both Corey and I, that's the boy, are experiencing inexplicable peace.
Newsweek magazine said, you have such single-minded faith. And the world looking on. One man was interviewing Jim Bowers on the TV, and this man is not known as a friend of the Christian faith that interviewed him. And Jim Bowers, in spite of his loss, spoke wonderfully about the fact that his wife was present with the Lord, at home with the Lord. This is the hope of the Christian, that our salvation was by faith in Christ. At a memorial service for his wife and his little girl, he listed 14 miracles that he had seen in the whole incident. Now that's wonderful. Instead of engaging in blame against the Peruvians, instead of talking about million-dollar lawsuits, there was no mention of that. He listed 14 miracles that he had seen. In other words, through his tears, he saw God. And I'd like to share those miracles with you. He said, of the fusillade of bullets that penetrated the cabin, not one of them hit him or the little boy, in spite of the fact that a bullet came from behind him and shattered the windshield in front of him. Wonderful, isn't it? I know his wife is killed, but God had a work for him to do, and hopefully for his boy to do, and a bullet came from behind him and shattered the windshield in front of him, but didn't hit either one. Second miracle, he said, when he used the extinguisher, the fire extinguisher, to extinguish the fire in the cabin, he said, it worked. He said that wasn't common in Peru for the extinguishers to work. And that saved Kevin, Corey, and himself from a fiery death there in the cabin. He said, if the bullet that killed Ronnie and Charity had gone further, it would have killed the pilot, because they were sitting behind the pilot. And in that case, all the occupants of the plane would have been killed. I like this. He said, neither he nor Corey, the boy, were terrified. There were no screams, no crying. They experienced the peace of Christ in their hearts. Isn't that wonderful? Some of you have experienced that too. Some of you have been in place of sorrow and you felt yourself sustained and you said, that's not me, that's the Lord that's doing that. It's supernatural. In spite of the pilot's terrible leg injury, he was still able to bring that plane down on the water of the Amazon River. And you know, they have to use their legs too, as well as their arms. Jim Bowers had enough strength, this is another miracle he fired, he had enough strength to get his wife's body and his little girl's body out of the plane, into the water, before the plane sank. God's timing had moved. God's plans always run on time. A motorized canoe came by, it came by just as Kevin's strength and Jim's strength were getting out, where they weren't going to hold on anymore. And the canoe came along at that right thing. The plane was shot down near a village where Jim knew some of the people. He had come along there in their houseboat and he had ministered the gospel to these people, and some of them were there and they knew him and recognized him. And they had witnessed what had happened and they sent a radio call for help And he said, this particular radio works, which they don't always do in Peru. When Jim used the radio to call the pilot's wife, she was at home. And nearby was another pilot who was ready right away to come in another plane and take Kevin for a medical assistance. Are the consolations of Christ too small for you? I would say, no, they're not too small for us. And these dear people experienced that in that terrible day on that plane. I'd like to go over some of the consolations of Christ. Maybe there's somebody here and your heart is broken today. You come all dressed in nice clothes and all the rest, but underneath you're wearing sackcloth and ashes. Well, let me share some of the consolations of Christ with you. I consider that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be in us. That's lovely, isn't it? Romans 8:18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, all that we go through in this life by way of suffering and sorrow, just pinch it. I mean, right at the time, they're hard. The sorrow is great, but when you compare them with the glory which shall be revealed in us, when we go to be with the Lord, when we look upon His face, no comparison. No comparison. And a similar verse in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light is Paul. When you think about the Apostle Paul meant for it, in the way of affliction. Very few men in the history of the Christian church have gone through what he went through. He said, light affliction. But for a moment. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. That's an interesting expression, weight of glory. Glory of weight. You think of the glory of the sun shining. You think of that, those rays of the sun that are coming down from the sun to us today. Do they have weight? Well, science will tell you they have weight. They have weight. And Paul uses that fact here. And he said, what we're going through now is nothing that can be compared with the coming glory, far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Our sorrows are temporary, our glories are eternal. Good. In 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I like that expression, the Father of mercy. Oftentimes when the word Father is used in Scripture, it means the source of mercy. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, is the source of all mercy. And He's the God of all comfort. And you know, that's very true. Some of you have had the experience, I'm sure, that some sorrow has come into your life and friends crowd around and they seek to comfort you and they mean well. But you know, in the final analysis, it's only God can comfort you. And He usually does it through some verse of Scripture. He usually does it through some verse of Scripture. And that verse of Scripture comes home to your heart in power and lifts you out of the doldrums. Luke 12:57. Are not 5 sparrows sold for two copper coins. That's beautiful. He tried it again in copper. Did you know that people today, if they see a coin, a copper coin, and it says, most people today won't bother to pick it up. Why? It's not worth anything. You can't use it for anything. You can't even put it in a parking meter anymore. And I heard that. That most people won't stop and pick up a copper coin if it's lying there on the sidewalk. Some of us will do, but never mind. That's if you get cottage blood in us, I think. It says here, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? That is wonderful, isn't it? Huh? A sparrow. Mostly feathers. And not one of them is forgotten before God. I tell you. Says, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Ironside, and I quoted it before, Ironside used to say, God attends the funeral affairs of each child. Among them falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. God attends the funeral of every child. What is this God here, huh? Listen, if he attends a funeral of a sparrow, what do you and I have to worry about? Huh? Aren't you of more value than many? Many sparrows, not one, many. I like Isaiah 63, verse 9. It says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. That's beautiful. In all their affliction, speaking about Israel there, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. What does it mean? It means that every pang that comes to my heart comes to the heart of Christ. I believe that's a tremendous source of comfort. I'm not in it alone. He's registering in the courts of heaven. And he shares my sorrow. You see that, of course, in the life of Saul of Tarsus, don't you? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was persecuting the Lord's people, but the Lord felt it in heaven, too. The Lord felt it in heaven, too. In persecuting his people, they were persecuting the Savior. Hebrews 13, 5. But he himself has said, the Lord, he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So when I think of what that verse has meant to suffering, sorrowing saints down through the centuries, the promise of the abiding presence, the Lord Jesus. And that leads me to say this, you know, sometimes our friends are stricken with a disease, and it seems obvious from the very beginning that he's not going to heal him. He could, but it seems very obvious that he's not going to. I would feel that way about the girl in the hospital back in Virginia today. How do you pray? You pray that the Lord will heal her, but he could. But it seems to me he's already said he's not going to heal him. I pray that the Lord will sustain the loved ones in a supernatural way so that they will know the presence and power of Jesus in a way they should have never known it otherwise. That's a good prayer. Pray that the Lord will sustain the people, the loved ones, in such a supernatural way that they will realize this is wonderful. Couldn't believe it. That I could be like this at a time like this. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The marvelous loving care of our God and Father. Hear not. Try and listen. I think I read one time that those words "fear not" are found 356 times in the Bible. Some say you like to hear it. Fear not. 356 times to the Bible. I am with you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Just think of it. There's one in the glory today. His name is Jesus. And he's able to sympathize. He knows what we're going through. We're not just a lonely light ship out there in a sea of nothingness. We're dear to his heart. And he is there to help us to sympathize with our weaknesses in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. He said, well, brother, it's a tremendous burden on my heart while I'm going through it the present time. Well, thank God we have a burden bearer. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't it? And he will sustain you. You'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that's real. So how do I do that? You do that by appropriating the word of God by faith. Say, Lord Jesus, this burden is too much for me. I'm just going to roll it off on you. And there's no use of you carrying it anymore. If he's carrying it, that's adequate. If he's bearing the burden, that's enough. No use for you to take it back again and start bearing it yourself. Deuteronomy 33:27. Underneath of the everlasting arm. See, this verse he read said, I will bear you, carry you. And that's it, underneath of the everlasting arm. Never a heartache that he's not there. To have the everlasting arms underneath, we're being sustained, we're being held up by those everlasting arms. Are the consolations of God too small for you? They're not too small for us. One of the great ones in my life is Psalm 30, verse 5. It says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I think that's lovely. That idea, weeping may endure for a night, becomes like an overnight lodger. Weeping. When you think of the shortness of our lives, when you think of the time spent in weeping, it's a little more than a night. Just kind of an overnight passerby. The joy comes in the morning. And we can say that through our tears. It's tough. What we're going through right now is tough, but joy comes. And when joy comes, it's not for a morning, not for an evening, it's forever. The joy is forever. The weeping is temporary. The joy is eternal. I commend that verse to you. If you're a sorrowing saint today, Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night. The joy comes in the night. The joy of seeing his face. The joy of being made like him. The joy of reunion with those we've known down here below in the Lord. This is an interesting verse in Psalm 56 and verse 8. It says, you number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle? Are they not in your bottle? You number my wanderings and my all going through life. Everywhere I go in life, you know all about them. All your itineraries, all your trips, all your commuting, the Lord knows every one of them. Just put my tears in your mouth. What does that mean? It says, are they not in your book? God numbers your tears. And even if they're not real tears, even if your heart is bleeding, he numbers that tears. It's all about it. Are the consolations of Christ too small for you? They're not too small for you. I really get a thrill out of Revelation chapter 2. This night in other verses in Revelation 2 and 3, it says, I know your tribulation. The Lord Jesus, looking over the scriptures of Asia, he says, I know. It reminds me of when John the Baptist was killed. What does it say the other disciples did? They went and told Jesus. They don't tell you. Did he already know? He knows everything. Why did they go and tell Jesus? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they went and told Jesus. Because it's a tremendous relief for us. And some overpowering sorrow or tribulation has come into our life. It's a tremendous relief to us. Just to go. Sure, he knows about it. I'm not telling him something he doesn't know. Already told us that he knows there in the book of Revelation. It means there's something beautiful about that, the disciples going telling Jesus. I understand what that verse means. Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Imagine that. Imagine a scene. There's no crying, no tears, no death, no pain, and no death. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. For the former things have passed away. And then Revelation 22, verse 5, the next verse, it says, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor the light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. There shall be no night there. I don't know how you are, but oftentimes night when I can't sleep, I just can't find the light. My mind is racing. I'm lying here on the bed and I can't turn off the wheel. Some problem that comes in life. Some sorrow is coming to life. I tell you, I really welcome the dawn. I really welcome the dawn. Well, says there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. They shall reign forever. First John 3:2, beloved, now he's children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That is marvelous. One gift of his dear face. All sorrow will efface. So bravely run the race. For we see Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able even to subdue all things to himself. The Lord Jesus is able to subdue everything to himself. And that same power can be used to take our body and transform it into body, like his wonderful body of glory. When I think of that, I think, Lord, salvation could have been less than that for us, indeed it didn't have. You didn't have to go all that way. to give us everlasting joy. But he wasn't satisfied until he did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, reviewing the marvel of the coming rapture, says, therefore, comfort one another as he is. Are the consolations of God too small for you? They're sufficient to take us through all of the different times in life. We can see the Lord in with all that's taking place. Just as Jim Bowery was able to face 14 miracles with that sad incident of the death of his wife and little girl. What he said. Blessed God, we thank you that you are indeed the God of all comfort, the Father of mercy. We thank you that you are sufficient, that your promises are enough for us, no matter what we're called upon to go through in life. Help us, Lord, to believe your word, to appropriate these wonderful promises to our hearts, that even though our hearts might be broken, yet we can be a witness to you and testify to your greatness and your grace. Pray that in all the trials of life, that others may see Jesus in us. We ask it in his worthy name and for his sake. Amen.